Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
Well, you're married to an Italian, so you should know.
I can't even cook.
Yeah, she's...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Ordering it,
she still knows it all.
Beth's mom, the whole family can cook. It's unreal.
Yeah. What did your parents ask her? Did you eat today? Oh, yeah, I had a granola bar and a lemon.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Big, big night in the NBA. The NBA draft going on tonight down in Brooklyn. You can watch it on TSN or track it on Twitter, because Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out the first six picks around 3:50 this afternoon. So tune in and find out who is going 7 through 30, and then who goes in the second round tonight. And the NHL draft is tomorrow night. Bob McKenzie's down in Dallas. He'll join us a little bit later in the hour. So I teased this in the previous hour, that the NHL schedule is out.
Yeah.
And I will say this, man. I am a sucker for what's going on with Vegas. Yeah. I still would rather go there and not go to the game, but for the first time in my life, I actually cared about the schedule coming out in June. Usually I don't really care. You know, I'll check it out in September when camps are up and we're closer to the season. Usually I would think, from a Leaf perspective, I want to know, when are you playing the Habs?
Yep.
When are you playing Ottawa? When are you playing Boston? For me, it's when are you in Vegas? Because I know I'm going to know people that are going down there, and maybe we can work out something with the radio station to find a way to get down there ourselves.
We're going to
Thursday night in February.
We're going to do a GoFundMe / any type of fundraiser where it's the Overdrive crew and fans go to Vegas.
It just dawned on me what day it is in February.
What?
Your birthday? Your wife's birthday?
Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day.
All right, well.
Valentine's Day.
Dude,
it's all right.
How many years have you been married now?
Four today. Today's my anniversary,
really?
Actually.
Yes. Well, there you go. Happy anniversary.
It's time where you don't care about Valentine's. Nobody cares
about
Valentine's.
Four today. Was it 4 years ago?
Four years ago
Do you and your wife care about Valentine's Day?
Not at all. We've been together for 15 years, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody but after cares. A certain amount of
years. It's like, the stupidest holiday ever.
You know what? We know
nobody cares.
I go for dinner. That's it.
You know when someone cares?
I don't celebrate holidays.
You know when someone cares?
When you go to Vegas.
That's right. When the other person is going to Vegas.
So scrap it.
No, we're going. You just have to bring Aaron, which is fine. You're bringing Aaron for Valentine's Day. You guys can do
a couples trip. Me and Noodles.
What's that old guy there?
Wayne Newton.
You can do Wayne Newton.
Okay. Steph can come too.
No, she's not invited.
Why not?
Well, she's going to stay home.
Why is my wife coming, but yours isn't?
Well, it's right around, like, I don't know. I can't make an excuse. Right,
there's no reason. Right, there's no rhyme or reason why Steph wouldn't be coming.
All right, we'll invite her.
We'll figure something out.
Her and Aaron can go out. They can go to Wayne Newton. We'll go to the hockey game.
You're right, though, about big dates. Like, it's our fourth anniversary, which doesn't hold much weight. And what I mean by that is it's not the 5th or the 10th or the 50th or 25th or whatever.
Yeah.
So we both got up today. Happy anniversary. Hugs and kisses. And she started the conversation and said, just so you know, I didn't get you anything. No card.
That's terrific.
Which was great because I responded with a...
I didn't get you anything.
Me neither.
Because you know what you were doing. If she got you something,
you were
going to go put gas in the car and then grab a gift card from the gas station.
Which I've always supported the gift card.
I think so,
I've always supported a gift card. I think it's actually more meaningful to allow that person to do whatever they want with that money, as opposed to you making a purchase that they may not want.
Well, then you just
or
get
straight cash.
Just straight cash. $92.
Cash is shallow, though.
Isn't what George... What does Costanza give Elaine? $92, right?
Right, because Jerry gave her $184.
Yeah, it was like...
So he had to give her 50% of whatever Jerry gave her.
Either way, I don't know. People make such a big deal out of anniversaries and these dates and stuff like that. Like, I think it's only, like, early on, I'm fine with it. After that, like, you just, everything kind of glosses over. I don't celebrate birthdays or
No, I'm not really big like on that stuff either. And just be nice to people day in, day out.
Yeah, try and
How's
be
that
kind.
Sound?
Make every day Valentine's Day.
Let's be kind.
So the Leafs, as we knew, I believe yesterday this came out, they're going to open up at home against the Habs first Wednesday of the year, which I like. I've always supported that. That's I think good, it should be Leafs Montreal every single year.
Absolutely.
And it should go back and forth. Toronto 1 year, Montreal the next. That's the oldest rival. It's the biggest rivalry in both towns.
What are they
in
Montreal
part.
This year?
They're in Toronto. So opening night's at the ACC.
What day?
Wednesday. You just said they're opening Wednesday again.
First Wednesday of the year at the ACC.
I didn't hear that part. I was looking right at you.
Looking right through you.
Stephen Caldwell. And they have a back-to-back the first weekend, too. They're at home against Ottawa, I think, on the
Let
first
me guess,
Saturday.
Rangers Sunday.
No, Chicago on Sunday.
Ooh.
At Chicago
Everyone
on Sunday.
Everyone loves a Chicago.
Yes, and they go out west early, too. I believe in the second month of the year, they get that California trip out of the way.
13 back-to-backs. Those are manageable.
That's not bad. They had 18 or 19 a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was...
2 years
I think,
ago, they
yeah,
had
18. It was the Senators had 19 last year.
The Leafs had a lot.
They didn't have 19, that much. I think they were kind of in that 14 range, 13, 14 last year. It was 2 years ago where it was ridiculous.
Okay.
But I still believe if you want your best product, you have to eliminate as many back-to-backs as possible.
I agree.
Like, no team should have to play 20 back-to-backs or 19.
No.
Ottawa did that. I'm not suggesting anything of why their season was bad because of that, but it doesn't help. Like, if you're a bad team and you're having to play back-to-back...
Back-to-backs and burner accounts, the worst thing you can have.
Exactly.
I do not like this. This beckons back to a couple of years ago, and very similar to what Boston went through last year. Again, I mean, we're making a big deal out of a schedule. It's June. They don't even show up for camp for like 3 months.
Right.
But I'm looking at the final week of the season. The final Saturday, or the second last Saturday... On the 30th of March, they're in Ottawa on that Saturday. Then they're in New York to play the Islanders on the Monday, at home against Carolina on the Tuesday, at home against Tampa on the Thursday, at Montreal on the Saturday.
So 5-7.
5 games in 8 nights.
Yeah, and 8 technically.
That's terrible.
It's not good.
Like, that's another thing, and that's not just a Leaf thing. Other teams are going to have to go through that. Why are you cramming so many games in the final week?
Well...
Like, why? Those are the important games. I know everyone says 2 points in October.
It's because of that bye week. That's the thing. They slide the bye week in. If you got rid of the bye week, you could schedule a lot better.
Yes, you could. Now, that's been negotiated into the CBA, so the players don't want to give that up. But
yeah, but think about teams, not just the Leafs. Wasn't the Leafs that had, like, Christmas, then you had...
All-Star game, bye week.
Like, it was like you played 8 games in, like, 30 days.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
It was over the course of, like, 6 weeks. They had 3 big breaks.
Right. Like, And then you jam it all in down the stretch. Like, the team was good enough here in Toronto that it didn't matter when they played, but you just want the best product. I continue to harp on that. You want, regardless of who's playing, you want good products, not knowing, okay, this team is dog tired. I was actually looking at, I think it was Edmonton's schedule. They start in, like, Sweden, Germany. And then they come right back and go 4 games on the road through the East.
Their first home game is like October 18th.
Yeah. They're like, 21 days on the road or something ridiculous.
That can ruin your season before it even
well,
starts.
Well, ask the Senators. They went to Sweden.
That ruined them. They came back and they lost like 10 in a row or something.
I know the league wants to grow, and you can't have it both ways, but scheduling is a big part of it. And if you have a favorable schedule for the most part, because everyone can complain about some stretch they have to go through. I was just reading quickly, like, the Leafs don't have more than 4 home games in a row, which, you know, it's kind of, I thought that was a little bit strange. Usually there is a bigger homestand for a team. Now,
yeah,
maybe
you come
I just
home for
it.
Like 2.5 weeks and you're home for 6 games or something like that. But.
Yeah, now, I was just glossing as we were in the break.
Well, I mean, listen, it's a schedule that everyone's got to go through it. Everyone has some tough times and more difficult spurts throughout the season. But anyway, they're in Vegas, Valentine's Day, and they started home against Montreal back-to-back the first weekend with 3 big rivalries, too. I mean, that's a good way to start your season. Montreal, Ottawa, Chicago.
Right.
First 3 games. Good way to get things started, get things kicked off. The draft, again, is tomorrow night. No trades yet. There's some big names out there. I mean, by all accounts, the whole Hurricanes organization is available if you make the right call.
Man, if that Lindholm's available, he's a really
How could
good
he
player.
Be available for a team that's trying to get better? I have no idea.
I think it's a pressure situation because they're trying to extend him. So if the money doesn't fit or something, you could optically say, yeah, he's available. But, I mean, what are you looking for then in return? A young centerman? Young, good player?
Well,
that's what you have.
I wonder what he's looking for, Jamie, as far as an extension, because he's a great young talent.
Yeah.
But he hasn't exactly put up bonkers numbers.
No, but I think under the radar, like, I think what they would do is probably...
he would have been lucky to get 20 goals last year.
Well, let me see. I'm looking it up right now. It's 16. Yeah,
they didn't score at all. They didn't score. In general.
I get it, but how much does a guy that scored 16 goals want?
Well, and if you're going to get it anywhere, it's in Carolina, where they have a difficult time, attracting free agents and bringing in big players. And
yeah, I mean,
if everybody else is going out the door, at some point you got to pay somebody.
He got 20 the year before, didn't he?
No, he had 11 the year before. So he's 11, 11, 17, 11, 11, 16.
Yeah, you're looking at a 12 goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
A 12-goal scorer.
Well,
he's being described as a dynamic forward. The hell are these people talking about?
He is good, but I think you probably...
Well, how good is he scoring a career 12-goal scorer after 4 years?
Carolina wasn't world beaters.
Well, he got every opportunity to play in offensive positions with the best that they had.
Well, Jeff Skinner is a guy who scores, and he's available.
That's the guy I would be circling. Jeff Skinner.
He's getting dealt. It sure feels like it. Like, I think McKenzie said like a month ago it was a lock that Skinner's getting traded.
Now, he may have gone quietly and said, get me the hell out of here. And, optically, Billy Peters going to Calgary, he may think that he could get a diamond out of the rough in Carolina. He may tell Tree Living, like, this guy's get this guy, try and get that guy, if you can. It happens all the time because... You come from an organization, you know those players inside out. So it wouldn't surprise me if Carolina and Calgary were at least trade partners on some level.
Sure, have a conversation.
Well, we think about it all the time. Like, would Lou be looking at anybody from the Leafs organization, knowing that he's been here for a couple of years, and all of a sudden maybe Josh Levo is available, and you can grab
him. Is that who he's looking for, Josh Levo?
For depth. Like, I'm just saying, like, if Dubas is looking to move players out to give those young guys a real opportunity to play, maybe Lebo is a guy that could be on the bubble.
Well, that wouldn't shock me at all if he got dealt. I'm just saying, it would surprise me if Lou thought that's the guy I got to bring with me.
Well, he might be circling around JVR in the offseason. Who knows?
I'm just saying depth.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
We'll head to Dallas. We'll catch up with Bob McKenzie, and we'll get updates on Pacioretty, Kessel, the Hurricanes, Ryan O'Reilly, Milan Lucic. It sounds like he's coming back to Edmonton based on what Chiarelli said. Is that because there isn't a market out there for him, or they can't get a deal that makes sense? Chiarelli's saying that he's willing to trade the 10th pick.
Well, they got to be open for business.
Absolutely.
They got to get better.
Yeah, you got to get better. McDavid promised it last night. I guess Pierre Dorion as well, the GM in Ottawa, promised improvements.
I just heard his sound.
Okay, we'll come back and we'll recap that.
We'll play it.
Well, Bobby Mack is coming up.
After Bob.
He doesn't want to hear it. Bob McKenzie, live from the draft, next.
Thanks for listening to Overdrive. Visit TSN1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf from underpar.com. We'll also award 5 runners-up with $100 gift cards. Enter up to once per day until July 1st. Pay less and play more with underpar.com.
Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Some Post Malone bringing us in. Have you seen his new face tats?
No.
So he's got one over his eye, and I can't remember what that one says. But he just got two under each eye.
Yeah.
And I think it says, like, always tired. Like that.
Can I get that?
This guy looks like I don't know.
Always tired. He's a great musician. I actually really like his stuff.
Really?
Yeah, he's awesome.
He looks like a beauty to me.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
Always tired.
He's from, I think he lives down in Dallas. Maybe Bobby Mack will be partying with Post Malone. I'll bet you Bob's got some Post Malone on his iTunes.
No, I doubt it.
He's an eclectic musical man.
Yeah, but Bob McKenzie. Bobby Mack likes the hip and...
You'd be surprised.
No Post Malone for Bobby
Mack. I'll say Jerry's 85%.
I say 6%.
Zero.
The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance. Bob, do you have any Post Malone on your iTunes?
O wins the prize.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Do you know who Post Malone is?
No.
There you go. See?
All right.
And I usually try to stay up reasonably up to date on this music or that music, but that's not one that I'm familiar with. So elaborate for a second and tell me who he is and what he does.
Well, he's a hip-hop artist. He's kind of new. He's been out for a few years, but...
Yeah, no.
That's where you can just stop Hayes right there and say, all right, let's move on.
Swing and a miss. So Barry Trotz officially becomes the head coach with the Islanders, and immediately everyone's trying to figure out what this means for John Tavares. What would you say about that?
Well, I would say it's another key piece of the puzzle, no question about that. I mean, knowledge is a good thing, and if you're John Tavares, now you know who the coach is. Now you've been talking to the coach, because Barry Trotz has said he's already had a good conversation with John Tavares. You know, you could also... John Tavares' next question might be, are you bringing a goaltender along with you? Because that's obviously an area of concern for the Islanders. And the funny thing is, maybe Trotz will bring a goaltender along, because Philip Grubauer is a restricted free agent who Washington cannot re-sign. They're auctioning him off in the Islanders, Carolina, Detroit, Colorado, Chicago. A lot of teams looking for a goaltender. Either a high-end backup or a low-end number one, or a platoon situation. And Washington thinks they might be able to get a first-round pick, plus something through Grubauer. So we'll see how that plays out. But the Tavares watch is still on, and I don't think we're any closer to learning anything definitively, other than it can't hurt the New York Islanders that they now have a head coach and. The head coach is a Stanley Cup winner and Barry Trotz.
I don't care if they bring in Patrick Waugh in his prime. I still think if he waited this long, he is going to sit and listen to the whatever Dregs mentioned, 3 to 5 teams. I don't know. That's just me. If you
I think
go this,
you're right.
Yeah,
I think you're probably right. It's starting to head more in that direction. I mean, the shopping period begins on Sunday. Like, it's Thursday. So logic would suggest, and again, funny. Logic sometimes goes out the window where the heart's involved. But you would think if John Tavares has gotten this far, if you got to Thursday, you might as well go to Sunday, I would think. But again, you never know. Anything could happen in the next 48 hours.
Well, what's really brewing down there? I mean, there's so many big names that could potentially be on the block and potentially be moved. But is there one big name in particular you have your eyes set on more than anybody else?
Well, I think there's a number of things that are happening. Obviously, the Tavares situation bears watching. Next up would be Ilya Kovalchuk. Some of these teams that are interested in Kovalchuk, chiefly the Kings, the Sharks, the Boston Bruins, maybe to a little lesser extent, the Vegas Golden Knights, they want to find out before the draft what's going on with Kovalchuk. Now, whether they do or not remains to be seen, but... That's a significant name that's out there. The Erik Karlsson thing, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum. You've got to mention it because there's no name bigger that potentially could be on the move. Then you've got a whole bunch of, relatively significant names. Brian O'Reilly from the Buffalo Sabres, Max Pacioretty from Montreal Canadiens, Jeff Skinner from the Carolina Hurricanes. So there's lots of notable names in play for sure.
My favorite GM, Peter Chiarelli, speaking with the media today and saying, that 10th pick, man, it's up for grabs. Give me a shout. What do you have? People are panicking in Edmonton that this is going to go south. And last night it was ugly because Taylor Hall won the Hart Trophy. But what's the likelihood of the Edmonton Oilers actually trading that 10th pick?
Well, right now, it's got to be for a defenseman that they really, really want. And I don't know that there's one that's necessarily available. Chiarelli says he talked to teams about it, but I don't know that there's a natural fit. And again, it doesn't have to be a right shot defense. And he said that today. I was talking about that yesterday on SportsCenter. An offensive defenseman is what they're after. Right shot, left shot. Right shot's preferable, but those are harder to come by and they're more valuable. So I'm not sure there was a natural fit. I know the guy that Edmonton and a bunch of teams would move heaven and earth to try and get, and that would be Ryan Ellis from the Nashville Predators, but he's not technically available right now. But he's got a year left on his deal. It's a real team-friendly deal. And, you know, I don't know if Nashville can afford to sign him long-term or whether he would be prepared to take a big enough hometown discount to make it work for Nashville. And if that's the case, and again, there's no time pressure on David Poile, but you know, if he gets an indication that he can't get Ellis signed, well, then at some point, whether it's this summer or once the season begins, then Ellis potentially is a guy that comes into play. And I think he would fetch a tremendous return because I think a lot of teams project him as a top-pairing defenseman in their scheme of things, even if he's not always that with Nashville.
With Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, is there a Maple Leaf player with term on his contract that has the potential to be moved this weekend that we should be focused on?
I haven't really thought about that one. I don't think there's an obvious one. I don't think there's a name like this guy's being chopped or that guy's being chopped. I know the Leafs do a pretty good job of keeping the lid on speculation. I think it's less about who might go out the door and more about, you know, can the Leafs get into the Tavares shopping period on Sunday, Monday, and would they be one of the teams? And my expectation is, no guarantees, is that, yeah, if Tavares goes to the shopping period and decides that there's a five or six teams that he's prepared to talk to, I'd be the least surprised guy in the world if the Leafs are one of those teams. It doesn't mean they're going to get him. Don't be radioing me now and saying Bob McKenzie says the Leafs are getting Tavares. But I would just assume that, based on what I know, that the Leafs would be one of a half a dozen teams Tavares would at least want to talk to.
Bobby, I know you do a lot of polls and interview GMs. If you could put together a top three or four or five poll of which general managers you're interested to see on what kind of body of work they do this weekend, who would they be?
Well, I think that there's some teams that are real busy right now. Carolina Hurricanes. So whether it's Tom Dundon, your favorite team, Tom Dundon, Don Quidel, Rick Dudley, Paul Kropelka, the list goes on and on. They got a large group of people in that thing. Some people say Dunn is the final authority on everything, and I would assume that he is. But that's a team that's very active, talking to a lot of teams about bodies out and bodies in. Buffalo Sabres, another team that's talking to a lot of teams about bodies in and bodies out. Those would be two in particular that I would think are trying to get some done. We'll keep an eye on the Canadian teams, obviously. Montreal Canadiens, what are they going to do with Pacioretty? Are they going to be able to find a center? They'd like to get Ryan O'Reilly out of Buffalo, but the price is steep right now, so those would be some of the ones that would jump out at me.
Enjoy it down there, Bob. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome, fellas. Thanks.
Bob McKenzie, just in under the wire before that phone went.
I was just going to say, his phone was wavering and you were on the...
No,
fence.
I'm a patient
guy. You were
guy.
On tilt.
I'm a patient guy. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt, then break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. Which team are you guys most focused on? Outside of Ottawa, let's take Ottawa out of this.
I'm two. I'm Montreal and Edmonton. I think those are Canadian teams that people circle and, you know, had terrible seasons last year with injuries and inconsistencies and all that. Those are the two. The general managers are on the hot seat. Like, Ottawa, we all know. But I think when you're looking at it from the year before, you know, Edmonton was over 100 points. They made the second round. Like, they were, you know, a team that was trending and people were loving them. Like, they had such a bad year. I think those are the two that I'm circling.
What two teams did I play for?
Carolina
and Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your two teams?
Mm-hmm.
I just believe Toronto will tinker. And I think Carolina is going to be active, but...
I just love it when a terrible team's in a fire sale mode. What the hell are you going to have coming back next year? What, do you want to put seven people in the building?
Well, that's the thing. You got to field the team. You have to field the team. And I found that interesting about Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Sens, saying today, promising, we're going to be better. We're going to be a lot better. Okay, if you're going to trade Carlson, what my fear would be, if I'm in Ottawa, hearing that comment,
right,
is a Joe Thornton trade. I'm trading Carlson, but I'm bringing three bodies back, and it's Marco Sturm and Wayne. And what I mean by that is we got to bring in guys who can help us now, and we got to keep plugging along.
I don't see it that way.
And one other thing in Carolina is what are they going to do about goaltending? Because you know they're not playing for keeps when any other organization, like if that's the Leafs, do you know where Scott Darling ends up?
Kazakhstan.
What?
Kazakhstan.
What's the league lower than the Kazakhstan Hockey League? Robida Island?
Yeah, Bulgaria.
Algarve Atras.
But that's why I think, like...
How do you go and put that guy back
on
the net?
Well, Scott Darling's got... What did he have, a four-year deal?
Yeah, so he's got 3 years left at 4-2.
Plus.
But Cam Ward's gone, so you do have a vacancy.
I don't know if Cam Ward would be gone. Is he an unrestricted free agency? But he loves Carolina. It's
doesn't matter, though. He's 34? Like, I think that they are going to move past him. That's where I think Grubauer's in play. Grubauer seems to be the next, like the guy that people think can turn the corner.
From Washington.
Yeah. And I was chatting with Mitch Korn. I know he was on our show, but I was talking with him off the show. Like, he thinks he's legit. Like, legit.
Well, guess where Mitch Korn is reportedly going?
What, to the island?
There are reports that he's going with Barry Trotz to the island. Yeah. So... If that's surprise. The case. Now, it doesn't mean... Now, Washington isn't just going to give you something. And maybe Washington's like, actually, no thanks, Barry. Not hooking you up with anything. That's, you talk about spite.
Not Barry, though. It's Lou.
Yeah. Well, Barry still walked away from the deal. Now, maybe they wanted to walk away from the deal.
Yeah, but Washington has to walk away from Grubauer. So what the hell?
Well,
that's not a spite trade.
But don't you think other teams are calling on Grubauer?
Yeah, you say, if you give me this same offer, it's yours.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's say a team in the West gives you basically the same offer. Who do you think they're trading him to? Someone
within
like the division?
Just like the Hoffman trade. Oh, you don't want to do it? Okay, yeah. Go to San Jose, and then San Jose goes,
Marty Jones.
This.
Yeah, well, Marty Jones.
Could be a double flip.
The LA Kings didn't want to trade Marty Jones to San Jose, so they've circumvented it through Boston, right? Remember, Martin Jones got traded to Boston and flipped,
an hour later
for a first rounder.
Which team has just not been on the front burner?
Calgary.
I was going to say Winnipeg.
Well, Winnipeg doesn't need much.
Well, but here. Let me sell you on why I think they should be in the game a little bit more. For starters, Patrick Laine can get paid July 1st. I haven't heard anything on that.
Not even a whisper.
On it. Now, it might be happening in Winnipeg, but my point being is, in Toronto, it's like, what's Matthews getting? Is he staying here long term?
Yeah.
Well, Laine should be getting every penny of what Jack Eichel got.
Every cent more.
Paul Stastny, he played a significant role for them. He's a UFA. Is he going to come back? Are they going to find that money?
He made seven last
year. They're not paying him
a lot.
I don't know. I mean, they're
not
a cap team.
I think he's probably going to make around five when he signs. He's not getting seven.
They're not up at the cap.
No,
and they got a taste of success for the first time. They were right there.
You're right. But they got a taste of it. But I think in knowing Kevin Cheveldayoff, this guy just flies under the radar. Very patient. Just kind of the team, they could lose Stastny. And they probably got a prospect coming up that can play there.
Well, they got that young kid, Nick Patan, but I don't know if
Patan
he can play that.
But Roslovic can move up the lineup.
Well, Roslovic's a really good player. We couldn't crack the lineup. Like, let's not forget, like, Stastny slid into that second line role. Like, they like Adam Lowry. Like, they've got some players that Brian Little.
It's the patient move to sit and wait if somebody fills in the role in your own organization. And then at Christmas, if you decide it ain't going to happen, you could go out and make a move.
You could go Shifley, Little, and Lowry, and I think they'd be very comfortable.
Well, I'm not saying they wouldn't be, but I'm just saying when you get a taste of it, as good as they are, they could get that much better because by all accounts, they do have a good system. Hellebuck's on a cheap deal, and he's young.
Well, they've got to sign him, and they do have to deal with the Jacob Trouba situation.
And now it sounds like he wants to stay.
Both of them are RFAs, and you could get them, I believe, on reasonable deals. Reasonable. Like, right. I think Hellebuck could get... I would give Hellebuck an eight-year deal. With something with a five in it. If you can maybe six, like he could ask for more, but if you want term and security, like maybe that's something that's attractive to him.
I just think, again, best team in Canada, right there in the conference finals.
You're right, they're quiet. They've been quiet.
And they're just not even included. Like Vegas was there too. People talk about Vegas all the time. Washington's in the news. They've got a new they got to get a new coach, Carlson.
Yeah.
Right? Like Tampa's been kind of sneaky quiet, and maybe it's because their system, they're loaded with prospects by all account. They got guys on good term. But usually it's the best teams where you're like, all right, what are these guys going to do to try to get that much better if they possibly can? We'll see. I mean, hopefully stuff happens this weekend. Every single year, we're in the same routine on a Thursday.
Yeah, but it's
fun. All these rumors are out there. You know, everything's
brewing.
Yeah,
this is going to be just fireworks, and then it just goes.
Is it going to actually happen?
You never know, though. Maybe Assface will give us some insight tomorrow.
Brian McCabe on the show at 4:30 tomorrow. Looking
with
forward
to tight yellow khaki pants on.
Bugle Boys.
That's what I miss more than anything at the draft.
Seeing
him in his tight pants?
Yeah, seeing McCabe in his golf shirt.
We'll need a measurement on the hairline, too. We'll have to get him
to FaceTime us before we come on.
FaceTime or snap a selfie of him. I will say this. I woke up to a selfie from two gentlemen this morning. I turned my phone off at night because I know. And two idiots sent me a picture last night.
They were in Dallas?
Yeah, and must have been into it a little bit.
It is National Selfie Day today.
Oh, well, I got a selfie. I didn't even check the timestamp on
it. Maybe they're just celebrating National Selfie Day.
Never know.
Again, I thought the way things work today in 2018, every single day is National Selfie Day.
It is.
Why do we need to apply a certain day in the calendar to National Selfie Day?
I thought about this the other day. I would love to wake up to a day where it was maybe non-complaining day. Like, I don't want to hear about the outrage here or the outrage there. I know there's bad things happening in the world. I get it. But I would just love, it would be maybe national go to work and keep your mouth shut day.
Or like just, national common sense
yeah,
day
like
is one that I
logic day.
Let me give you an example. So Trump was in Minnesota at one of his rallies last night. Kevin McHale. Yeah. They believe he was in. Yeah, it looked like him. I think it was Kevin McHale.
Yeah. Behind sure the him. Sign, like peeking over it.
So naturally, because he was in the crowd, he's got to be fired from TNT. Can't be associated with the NBA. This is one of the all-time great players.
But why though?
Because the NBA is anti-Trump. So because of that, because he was in the stands, like this is how crazy we've gotten.
I know.
I understand how polarizing politics is right now. And in the States, there's some really weird stuff going on and crazy stuff going on.
Right.
And I understand people are emotional. I get emotional reading a bunch of stuff and watching right. stuff. And the same thing applies up in our country. Let's not pretend like we have everything perfect up here.
No.
But the idea of a guy in the stands... Or a guy who's allowed to have a political affiliation. You have to lose your job over that? Like
it's ridiculous.
Is that official? He did lose his job?
No.
It's
he's not going to lose his job.
It's the Twitter police coming out saying he should.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But that's crazy. My point. I would like a national shut the you-know-what up day and just go to work or do whatever, and we don't want to hear. Stop complaining. Stop complaining day.
National quiet day. Everyone, exactly. No one can say
just a
word.
Shush.
That would be quite... We'd have the day
I
off.
Would push for that.
Thank God.
Push for that. Let's get a petition going.
National Radio Silence Day.
Nobody says a word in the whole country. Nothing.
But go to work.
Who's the one
live
person in this building that couldn't do it? You. It would be you.
Yeah. From 4 to 7, I don't shut up much.
Yeah, but that's... You got to carry us.
It is the job. You know,
it is the job.
The mics are hot and we're talking here, but...
What are you doing for Aaron tonight? Like, any?
We're going out.
You're
gonna
order some dinner in or something.
Yeah, no, we're doing that. We're gonna go out. I think for drinks tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was invited.
Babysitter.
For drinks.
Obviously,
yeah. My mother-in-law is gonna be at the house. She was there earlier today.
She's staying over.
Staying over. We're gonna get wild and wacky tonight.
Wow.
Kim Crawford.
You know it. I may be lagging ass tomorrow. I need a big game out of you.
Well, it is a man.
And a big
Friday.
Game out of you tomorrow.
We'll order some Zion tomorrow.
Well, let's play audio tomorrow, and you'll get what you want.
No, I need you guys to carry the mail tomorrow.
We will, and we'll play audio until you...
That's not carrying the mail.
Yeah, no, it is, because it's our show. If you're going to hand over the reins...
Yeah,
all right.
It'll be all audio day.
Tomorrow is Friday, so we will be ordering food in here.
Yeah, we'll be taking calls and playing audio as well.
We can do that. Well, we got McCabe on at 4:30.
We're ordering chicken fingers tomorrow.
Chicken fingers and wheels. Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Some big NFL news is breaking this hour. We'll tell you about that next. Don't forget to visit TSN1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf. This song kills me, man. It's such a good song.
Well, the guy playing it.
That's
this is why
I'm laughing. Our buddy Keith is behind the glass. And I don't know where Mullen went. Where did Mullen go?
Mullen just left.
I just had to go
home.
Yeah. Mullen's got better things to do.
I don't know.
Where was I here? Visit tsn1050.ca where you can win $1,000 in free golf from underpar.com. We'll also award 5 runner-ups with $100 gift cards. Enter up to once per day until July 1st. Pay less.
What are you laughing at?
An inside joke, which is always ridiculous on radio. Totally unfair. Pay less and play more with underpar.com. So it's the NBA draft tonight. And there's, it sounds like there's going to be a bunch of trades. And, you know, the fourth pick is
I do have to warn you, though, Brian. We've 3 years in a row said it sounds like there's going to be a bunch of trades.
Yeah.
And we've gone down there. That's the reason we're not down there, because none of them happened.
I know that. But it's the same thing in the NBA, the NHL. It's the same thing. Every single time there's buildup, there's rumors, people are buzzing, and half the time just feathers. Nothing comes out of it. There is a big report coming out of the NFL that Jameis Winston, the starting quarterback for the Bucs, will be suspended 3 games.
Okay.
For alleged Uber driver groping.
Oh.
That one stings. I remember hearing about that story last year. Now, I believe he had someone in the cab with him, in the Uber with him, who was claiming in his defense that he didn't do that. But the NFL, I guess, has looked into it. They've investigated the scene, and Jameis Winston.
Stuff's got to stop, man.
3 games.
It's crazy. It's.
Well, I mean, yeah. You're right. In the sports world,
too much. You Twitter. You wake up in the morning, have a coffee, you go through news. This is happening way too often.
Yeah. A lot of stuff is being exposed. A lot of idiots are being exposed.
Yeah.
And there's no condoning any of this kind of activity, and allegations or otherwise. You don't want to hear it, but you know, if you're down in Tampa, this is a huge hit. Like, it's a 16 game season. This guy's out for 3 games. He's your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Completely changes the complexion of your season. Now, the Bucs have not been a very good team in recent years.
I'm surprised it wasn't more if he was guilty.
Well, I guess, based on what Schefter, I believe, was reporting, that the door is open for even more games to be tacked on. So I guess they're still trying to figure out exactly where this is going. But Jameis Winston suspended for 3 games. Like, that is just a massive story.
I think he got in trouble at Florida State, too.
Oh, he did. Remember, yeah. he stole a crab or something out of a Trader Joe's.
Really?
I think it was a Trader Joe's.
He might have struck a female in a bar.
The other one, in which he got suspended, like he was out like the first half of a bowl game, because he showed up at a pep rally at Florida State and was yelling some stuff that was really, really egregious and offside.
Right.
And the video got out, the tape got out, and they're like, "What are you, this stupid? Like, sorry, you're not starting the first half of whatever game that was."
Right.
The other one was, again, he stole like crab legs or like a lobster or something out of. Like
Kramer,
a Publix or whatever.
Trap. Like
yeah, he just walked in and took it. And it's like, that's the starting quarterback of the Seminoles. Like, that's Winston Churchill. Or Winston Churchill. Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Like, we have you on tape. We know it's you. Sorry, dude. So this guy has had some red flags in the past and some problems. That said, he went first overall. Yeah. Did he win Rookie of the Year? I can't remember if he won Rookie of the Year.
He did not. No.
But he's a really good player. But now he's out for the first 3 games, at least this upcoming season. So tough news out of Tampa, but if he did it, then this is what comes with the territory. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. The Jays are out west in Anaheim tonight. I'm under the number in that game. Taking the Cubbies on the road in Cincinnati, and I'm fading Baltimore. Washington, home plus against Baltimore. Throw down 20. You can score $65.60. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Surely by 4 p.m. tomorrow, we're going to have an NHL trade. You think?
We better have.
90%.
Jerry's percentage is at least 2.5 transactions tomorrow. That's not the way to play it.
Well, remember last year...
About 3 transactions before we get on the air tomorrow.
Yeah, that's probably what it'll... It's going to be around that number. Was it last year Panarin got traded?
For Saad, straight across.
Was that last year? Yeah,
it was. Last year, yeah.
And that was in Chicago, remember? Because remember, we showed up and Quinville didn't even show up for the opening night.
That's Because
I think Jalmerson got traded before the draft.
As soon as Panarin left, Q just went ninja dust.
I'm going to see the ponies. I'm out of here. Cigar and the ponies.
Going to sit at OTB.
Yeah. So those deals went down during the year, during the draft day,
right,
I guess, leading up to the draft. Yeah, there should be two or three. Just a matter of who it is.
We'll get Caber to break one at 4:30 tomorrow. That's where I think Florida may not be done. Their team trying to continue to add to their young stable. I mean, the Hoffman situation is still going to be interesting. Do we ask Caber about Hoffman?
We have to,
pretty
I think.
We have to, yeah.
What's it like bringing a guy like that into your room?
I felt for Pierre Dorion today.
Man, his did he media, just get blitzed?
He got piled on. And listen, it's his organization. He has to get out in front of it. But some of these things that he had zero control over, but he has to deal with it and pick up the pieces.
He knew it was coming. This is where...
Well, here, I will say this. They asked him, at what point did your organization know about the Carlson Hoffman thing? And he said, we heard rumors at the end of the season.
That one, I don't think was a smart play.
We were like, that one might come back and...
Well, I mean,
someone's
going to
dig into it and dig hard.
But here's what I'll say. They may know that Melinda Carlson was bullied back in November, but they may not have put two and two together with the fiance with Hoffman until the end of the year.
No, for sure. And at this point, at this time, you give them
the benefit of the doubt.
But that is a challenge to journalists.
Oof. Yeah,
that is how it carries over. That's when a bombshell breaks in September. Sources indicate Eric and Melinda went to Pierre Dorion in December and said, we believe it's Hoffman.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
I was surprised he said that. I was really surprised. Now, if it's true, then that's why you might say
it. Hope it's true. From his standpoint,
yes.
Saying that, because you don't want to be disingenuous.
You know, the guy that found all the Colangelo and patched that all together, some guy's on that hunt right now as we speak. Sure.
Oh, absolutely. The biggest story there is it's still a huge story. When did it happen? And maybe Carlson will be the one to say it. If he gets traded, someone calls him up and goes, oh, I went to ownership and management back in December. They've known about these allegations for a long time.
Yeah.
And then you have to go back to Dorion and be like, why did you just say you heard it as a rumor at the end of the year? Why would you say that?
Yeah.
You know, so I hope for his sake it's true. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But this is also an example of different approaches to the media. Pierre Dorian's a nice guy, good guy, open guy,
he's
affable
friend of the
guy.
Show.
Yeah.
And as a result, the media is going to be like, attack, attack, attack. I don't think Lou would have gone through the same thing if Lamorello was in charge of it. What I mean by that is I think people would be like, I'm not asking Lou that. He's just going to stare at me.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping we have at least three trades to discuss tomorrow, and we're going to dive deep into it starting at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.